We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen as Pastor Matt Postiff explains and applies the biblical text one verse at a time. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified. Join us now as Pastor Postiff opens God's Word. Father, we are grateful that we're able to be here today. Thank you for your kindness, and thank you for giving us the weather patterns that you do. You've seen fit to do that, and you have a lot more wisdom than we do about how this all fits together, so I thank you for it. And you brought your snow from your treasuries last night to us, and Lord, I pray that you would help those that are unable to come today to enjoy the service as much as they can, just sitting at home observing on their computer screen or TV. Help us as we think about another virtue that we're supposed to cultivate as Christians, and then later this morning in 2 Corinthians as well. And we pray that anything that's a little askew because somebody can't be here or schedule change or something, a practice can't happen, that we can make that all up in due time. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, this morning we have another virtue, and I'll give you one guess as to what it might be. One guess. Think 2-3 days ago. Thanksgiving. Thankfulness. I didn't have it on my list, but it's on my list now. And so for today, we're going to talk about Christians being thankful people. A person that's a follower of Christ should express gratitude and appreciation for what God has done, and in turn for what others have done for them, right? Gratitude. Gratitude is one of those things that is an outward-looking, outward-giving kind of virtue. It's not something that, I mean, it works inside of us as well. It comes from inside to outside, but it's got to be expressed outside. And a non-Christian is not thankful, at least not toward God, and maybe, sadly, not at all. Although we do, I think, in the West, I hope, teach our kids to say thank you and please and stuff like that, just to be socially acceptable. But we're talking about a little more than social acceptability here, aren't we? We're talking about a virtue that comes from the heart. Thanklessness is a mark of those who do not recognize God's gracious favor. They don't recognize His divine power or His divine nature. Romans 1:21 tells us that although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So speaking of the mindset and life of an unbelieving person who has rejected God, and to more or less of an extent, they find themselves in this futile thinking. And only by God's common grace and then eventually His regenerating grace is someone's thinking restored to what it should be. God is working in us to develop thankful hearts because thankfulness is a characteristic of holiness. Holiness is exhibited in thankfulness. And thanklessness is a morally repugnant trait from which Christian salvation delivers us. There is something frustrating in the heart of a person when another person doesn't recognize with gratitude what they've done for them. They just take it for granted and walk on and go on their way like it was expected, like it was necessary, like it was owed. That is not a very happy situation for those of us looking on and hoping that, like our young people, will develop gratitude, that people in general will have gratefulness. As far as life examples, just thinking of research that I reported on a few years ago to the church here, that people who are grateful experience other benefits, such as feeling healthier, fewer aches and pains, believe it or not, less toxic emotions, better sleep, less anxiety and depression, and even lower levels of bad cholesterol. Can you believe that? That's an odd finding, I think, but we kind of know based on Proverbs 17, verse 22. Let's see if I can navigate there this morning with the cold fingers. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart does good like medicine." A merry heart does good like medicine. "But a broken spirit dries the bones." So, being thankful, like being prayerful, like being joyful in the Lord, can be health-giving to us. So notice that. And gratitude just helps make our inner person happy. Thankfulness draws us nearer to God, whereas complaining draws you away from God. Who found that out in the Bible? The Old Testament, many times didn't Israel complain, and it just pushed them away from the Lord. Being thankful also wards off covetousness. Have you thought of that before? I'm thankful for the things that I have. I don't need to have everything else that everybody else has. Thankful for the blessings that God has given to us. And if you don't have that and you're covetous and you pursue things, you can make poor decisions. You can do things that are damaging behaviors if you're greedy, that sort of thing. So thanksgiving, and it's related to contentment as well, of course, being thankful. What about some biblical examples? Well, turn in your Bible to Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 25. This is a biblical example of Jesus himself expressing thanksgiving. And it says this, "At that time Jesus answered and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, why? Because it seemed good in your sight.'" And so Jesus gives thanks to the Father, which, by the way, just the fact that he does that is an interesting thing. Not only does it teach us, as we're to follow Christ, to be thankful to the Father, but also this is an inter-Trinitarian thanksgiving from the Son to the Father, showing that God himself is thankful within himself. Isn't that interesting? I thought it was kind of interesting to think about it that way. Jesus thanked God for carrying out his business in a way that was good in his sight. Jesus also gave thanks to God in John 11, in verse 41. This, you remember John 11, if you kind of file chapters away in your mind with a little subject matter, John 11 is all about Lazarus being raised from the dead. And just before Jesus calls out to Lazarus from the tomb, it says, "Then they took the stone away from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me.'" So just before raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus expresses thanks to God for hearing him, that he would work this miracle through him. And also, did you see that where it said in verse 42, "Because of the people who are standing by, I said this," so that the people around would see God's work through Jesus and see that he reflected the praise to the Lord. So maybe we ought to stop and take a lesson from this and say one of the reasons that we give thanks to God is so that other people can recognize that we understand it doesn't come from ourselves. They see us thanking God and that points them to God as well, instead of looking at us and our goodness or our cleverness or our holiness or whatever. If you reflect thanksgiving to God, that helps others as well. Let's go to our Old Testament. We'll find another example here. Daniel. You would not be surprised to find that Daniel, as good of a man as he was, is a thankful man. Daniel chapter 2, we have this critical juncture here where Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, demands the dream to be told to him and the interpretation of the dream. Daniel is revealed this from heaven when they asked God to do that, this ended up saving Daniel and all of the astrologers or Chaldean magicians or whatever they were as well. And it says in Daniel 2, verse 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you, for you made known to us the king's demand. I thank you." So when God answers your prayer, might not answer it that way for you exactly, but some other way, then thank him. Thank you, God, for answering my prayer, helping me on this task, leading our family this way, protecting us during a near accident. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Well, there's somebody else who is very expressive of thanksgiving, and that's the Apostle Paul. Why don't you go to Romans 1? This is the first one that we find here in Romans chapter 1. It says in verse 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I thank my God." And you might be familiar with the fact that Paul, in many of his letters, opens them with a thanksgiving, giving us a great pattern as well. That's in 1 Corinthians 1, Philippians 1, 1 Timothy 1, 2 Timothy 1, and Philemon verse number 4. So a bunch of passages where God does that. There are some others, though, where he expresses thanksgiving. I'll turn to Romans 7 if you want to jump along with me here. That's the nature of these topical studies. We go back and forth in our scripture and find things that are related to what we're talking about. Romans 7, 25, Paul has just finished expressing, I believe, his spiritual struggle against sin as a believer. Some deny this or doubt it, but the reality is that I think all of us believers, if we're honest with ourselves, face this and recognize this struggle that we have with sin, with temptation. And he has it, and he recognizes that within his flesh there's no good thing, but the indwelling Spirit of God helps him to overcome the sin that's in his life. And he says, verse 25, let me go back to 24. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Still in this body, in this world with its fleshly passions, and he's asking, who's going to deliver me? Well, it's kind of a rhetorical question, because the answer comes in verse 25. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin," he concludes. But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where he's going to get the deliverance from this body of death that he's struggling against. And so don't lose heart, by the way. But when you're in the midst of that, say, "God, thank you that Jesus has delivered me from this, even though I'm in the midst of a battle," and he will deliver. And that is a great blessing. Another one that Paul gives thanks for is 1 Corinthians 1 again, 14. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 14. This is an interesting one. So Paul is dealing with the factions that are in the church. You know, there's people who are kind of emphasizing Paul, some Apollos, some Peter, some Christ. And Paul is upset that they're dividing up the church that way. And he asks in verse 13, "Is Christ divided?" No, obviously not. "Was Paul crucified for you?" No, obviously not. "Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Clearly no. And then he says this, "I thank God that I baptized none of you except for Crispus and Gaius." That's interesting to me that he says, "I thank God that I didn't do many baptisms there." Because in this case, the more people I had baptized, the more people would say, "I was baptized by Paul." It doesn't matter by whom you're baptized. Although it should be in your church, that's true. But it doesn't really matter if your pastor is the most famous or if you have an apostle to be your baptizer or whatever. You're testifying in the water of baptism of what? Your faith in Christ. Not your connection to a particular person who happens to be holding you and bringing you up back out of the water. Your faith in Christ is what you're testifying. That is the important part and must not be lost in the ritual of baptism. And so Paul is saying, look, I'm actually thankful that I didn't baptize too many of you. He delegated that to other people there in the church as they began that church and planted it. So that's good. Let's see, there's another one. I forget what this one is. 1 Corinthians 14. What is it? Oh, yeah, it's 14, 18. Oh, yeah, Paul says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. That's an interesting one. Of course, back then in that day, they could do that. Today, that's not a gift that's presently given. But I thank God, he says, that I speak more than you all. So the problem was that they were misusing the gifts in the church in Corinth, and so Paul's kind of thankful that, you know, he's exercising those gifts more than they are, that they're not able to mess them up at least so much. They've messed them up plenty enough already. So that's the Apostle Paul. There's something that I think I have at the end of my notes, but I think it might be helpful right now. Let me see here. Oh, yeah, it's 1 Timothy 4. Look at that one. 1 Timothy 4, 3 to 4. First Timothy 4 opens up with the note about the great coming apostasy, when at the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. They won't be able to use their conscience the way that God has designed it to be used. And then it says this, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods. I think we have a little bit of that today, maybe a little bit more than a little bit. People aren't necessarily forbidding to marry, but they're muddying up the definition of what marriage is, and there are a whole lot of people that just aren't getting married at all because they say, what's the use? Why the commitment? It's just a hassle to get divorced and blah, blah, blah. And which happens in too many cases. And so you could almost see how somebody would say, look, it's just better not to do that, forget about it. Of course, that's the case in some churches where they forbid their leadership to marry, literally forbid that from happening, and commanding to abstain from foods. But these foods God created to be received, and marriage, too, he created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. So Paul is making sure that the Gentiles understand, look, you don't have to abide by Jewish food laws here. You can receive a ham sandwich with thanksgiving and not be in violation of some law of God or other things. That we might consider gross or whatever, but if it nourishes and it's necessary, then maybe that's just what God has provided. But you do it with thanksgiving. Thus, we give thanks before our meals. Because every meal that we have, God has given to us. Really, hasn't he? Kroger didn't give it to us. Aldi didn't give it to us. Myers didn't, you know. God did. So we're grateful for that. So receive those things with thanksgiving, please. As to the question of when to give thanks, Psalm 6:5 says, for in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you, God, who will give you thanks? In the grave, who will give you thanks? Now, that makes perfect sense from an Old Testament saint's perspective, because after death, things were a little bit murky for them. They knew that there was some kind of future resurrection. At least some of them did. Job did. Isaiah did. Jeremiah, Ezekiel talked about this sort of thing. But it was a little bit like, what's that all about? So the focus was on life in the land, life under the Mosaic Covenant, and the opportunities that life gave. Solomon said it this way. He said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. For there's no doing or device or work, basically, in the grave whither you goest. You're just not. Once life is done, it's done. The opportunity to do what you can do now is over when life is over. Now, we continue to give thanks forever as Christians. We understand that now, with further revelation, that we'll enjoy an extension of life after our physical death in the future kingdom and eternal state, and we'll be able to give thanks to God forever before His throne. So in principle, the psalmist was maybe more right when he said this in Psalm 79:13. So we, your people and the sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. I think he's thinking corporately about the nation of Israel giving thanks for all of its generations in the future. But in principle, we can understand him recognizing, maybe he didn't specifically recognize, but we do, that he's more true than he knows, that we're going to be giving thanks to God forever and ever. So that's when, both now and forever. But do it now. Don't just wait till later to give thanks. As to where to give thanks, well, there's one suggestion. Obviously, you can do so in private, but Psalm 35 tells us, gives us one. Psalm 35, verse 18. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. So occasionally we've offered an opportunity for someone. I'm thinking of Ryan recently in the last months to get up in front of the church and give a word of thanks for what God has done for him. He brought him through some very dark times in his life, very difficult times. And so he gave thanks in the midst of the congregation. And that helped us to give thanks to God with him and to rejoice with him as well. And so the Bible says we can give thanks in the great congregation. Of course, we don't do so in a way to reflect praise to ourselves, do we? That's not what giving thanks does. So don't have that kind of attitude, well, if I say these things, it's going to elevate me. The point again is, like with baptism elevating Christ, it's our thanksgiving is elevating God, not ourselves. So that's as to when and where, but the Bible also explains why we give thanks. And I'll give a few grounds of that. In fact, I did on Wednesday night. If we don't have time, we'll just have to refer you to that recording on the podcast. But the underlying reason why we give thanks is, for instance, Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What is it? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Thanks is an integral element of what praise to God is. How can you praise God without giving Him thanks? When you give God thanks, you are giving Him praise. You might not be singing a praise hymn or a praise song or a psalm, but you are. When you give thanks, you are giving a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. So we're commanded to give thanks. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, command. Now, why we give thanks? What about who? Well, there are several, lots of examples. We've already given Jesus, Daniel, Paul, and many others in the Bible, but here are some. Here's the last three references to thanks in the Bible, and they're in Revelation. I'll just read them. One is in chapter 4. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. So here you have the living creatures giving glory and honor and thanks to God, the 24 elders joining them, casting their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for You have created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Then you have chapter 7, verse 11. You have all the angels standing around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, here's worship, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So we have the living creatures, the 24 elders, we have the angels added to the chorus now. Revelation 11 says this, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. So they give thanks because he has taken the kingdoms for himself. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. So I guess I'm just saying by the way, who do the 24 elders represent? Any ideas on that? What you've read in your commentaries and study Bibles? Perhaps the church and Israel, 24, 12 apostles, 12 tribes. Could be just the church. We don't know exactly if each one is representative of a certain segment of God's people or whatever. But anyway, we will be joining them in their praise of God as time passes. There are, however, a couple of false ways or incorrect ways to give thanks. Think with me of one of them in Luke 18. In Luke 18, the Lord tells a story about two guys that go up to the temple to pray. And it says, sorry, I'm in John 18. I got to get to Luke. It says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I thank you that I am not like other men. Now, he could better say, God, I thank you that you have made me a new person. You have brought me from death to life. God, thank you that you saved me. Thank you that you regenerated my heart. And now I'm not like those who are unregenerate in that sense by your grace. But he didn't say that. He just said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men, even like this tax collector. And he talks about I fast, I give tithes, and so on and so forth. It's a self-centered thanksgiving. Self-centered thanksgiving is no real thanks at all. And I think you see a different example, but still inappropriate kind of thanksgiving in the end of the prophet Jonah. Now, earlier in Jonah, I think it's, what is it, chapter 2:9, it says in Jonah, I will sacrifice to you. This is when he's praying for deliverance. Of course, his prayers are very focused at this time because he's in a very bad spot. I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And so God did cause Jonah to be rescued from the belly of the fish. But Jonah 4 records a different scenario, just a few days, weeks, perhaps later, months maybe. Jonah 4:6. Jonah 4:6. And the Lord prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But then it turns around right away and his gratefulness turns to anger at God. And so I wonder if his gratitude was really true and real gratitude. Self-centered because it provided him some relief from the heat and the blazing brightness of the sun. But, you know, you can be thankful with a selfish motive, can't you? I'm thankful that I have that. Now, everybody else doesn't have that, but I'm thankful I do. If both the subject and the object are about me, with no one else mentioned, then I wonder about that kind of thanksgiving. If the subject of the thanksgiving is me and the object is a material thing, we should also pause. Where's God in the equation? Thankful for the plant, or are you thankful for God who gave the plant? And if God takes away the plant, then that doesn't reduce your thanksgiving to God. It just means that you're a little less comfortable than what you were. You could not be perhaps grateful for the giver of the thing, and that too falls short. So hopefully Jonah learned his lesson here. Look at a couple of other passages of Scripture that talk about being unthankful, so this kind of false thankfulness that we just talked about, but look in Luke chapter 6. Verse 35, Luke 6:35, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. I guess we should probably, if we're going to be like God, be kind to the unthankful and the evil. Kind to our children who are unthankful, kind to our neighbors who are unthankful, kind to anybody out there, hold the door or that sort of thing for somebody. Just be kind, even if they don't say thanks. And don't get jaded or cynical about that sort of thing. But God is kind to unthankful people, and the fact is that such people do exist. Then there's 2 Timothy 3:2, and we're going to learn that this is going to become epidemic. 2 Timothy 3:2, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Disobedient to parents and unthankful. Not responsive to parents, not honoring parents, not kind of looking ahead and saying, what would my parents like me to do, what do they want me to do to help out here? And unthankful, and unholy, and unloving, and so on. Just a whole list of terrible traits. Well, if you are on the website or use that, then you can go and find these notes in the normal place where they are, and you can see on page 114 that I've given you probably 36 other verses that you can look up for yourself to find other Thanksgiving sections. Now, just in closing, we have a couple of minutes left. How are we going to kind of work on this? Well, stop and think. And this is what's good about Thanksgiving, I hope, that we stop and think about the things that God has given to us, the things that we don't really deserve, but which we do enjoy. People, family, things, events, your church, jobs, some blessing of getting you out of a trial, something like that. Think about those things. Replace complaining with thanksgiving. Instead of, what you want to do is you want to come to a place in your life when you wake up in the morning and you look out and you see snow, your first reaction isn't to grumble. That's the flesh, my friends. That is the flesh. Thank God for the white snow that reminds you of redemption, washing your sins whiter than snow. Thank Him for watering the earth in the way that He sees fit, which is best. I mean, if you imagine all winter we had no precipitation, what would that do to the condition of the world the next spring and summer? I don't even know. I mean, imagine it's kind of like a drought, and it would have some bad impact. So replace complaining with thanksgiving. What about this question? Should we say thank you if we do not feel thankful? I think so, because we should cultivate the practice and we should cultivate the feeling that goes along with the practice. We should obey God even if our flesh does not feel like it. At least recognize the benefit that somebody else has done to you by saying thanks. And we should repent for the bad feeling of not being thankful and recognize the importance of expressing gratitude toward others whether our emotions are right or not. Now, somebody I know is probably yelling at their TV screen if they're watching us online, and they're saying, yeah, but that's not authentic. I think that's the wrong idea. Who made authentic the highest bar for our behavior? What, and I'm not talking about hypocrisy now, okay? That's a whole different ball of wax. You know, obviously, if you're saying thanksgiving, and you're lying, you need to repent of that. But the highest bar for our behavior is not authenticity. It's holiness. Authentic just means I get to express who I am however I want at the time, whether it's appropriate or not, and that is just selfish, isn't it? Authentic. You know, your authentic self is not too good, particularly if you're not a Christian. You don't want to be authentic. You want to be more like Christ, authentically like Him. If you give thanks and do not feel it, you can still mean it because you know you ought to be thankful, and that God deserves your gratitude. And you can ask God to help you cultivate a thankful heart and forcing yourself to recognize this causes and occasions of thanksgiving will help do that very thing. So opportunities for you to be thankful. God wants you to be thankful. He gives you an opportunity to be thankful. At least say so, reflect on it, and really think about it. Yeah, you know what? I should be thankful. Now, there's no end to the blessings that we could list for which we should be thankful. And I did all of these on Wednesday night. So I'm going to let you look at those in the notes or also just listen in on the podcast. That would cover the last two pages pretty much of our notes. But the bottom line is that it's true that God deserves our thanks. And Scripture commands it, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so we should think about the manifold blessings that God has granted to us and rejoice in thanksgiving for them. And also, I added this on Wednesday at our Thanksgiving service, we should very carefully pray to God to that He would see fit to grant a continuation of those blessings. God doesn't have to continue to bless you with health, with material things, with a car, with, you know, family or whatever. God can take those away at His will, and we better be praying that God continues His divine favor, recognizing that it's wholly undeserved on our part, isn't it? All of those things that I've just mentioned, do we deserve those? Not really. God is worthy of our thanks. He receives our thanks. He's pleased when we thank Him. Not because it makes Him feel better, but it does our souls good. And so we close with this exhortation. God deserves our thanks, and we should be thankful people. I pray that we are. God in heaven, help us, I pray, that we would develop this character trait of being thankful people. And we just say one more time, God, thank You for Your many blessings. You've poured out just in abundance upon us, not the least of which is Jesus Christ our Lord and His salvation, and all the things that accompany that by Your Spirit, in Your Word, in our lives, and we thank You for that, and all the other things as well. Help us to take stock, take inventory of that which for which we may be thankful, and do so in Jesus' name. Amen.